In Proverbs chapter 2 tonight, reading from verse 10, we're going to title the message here tonight, Evil Men and Strange Women. We find a lot of repetition in the book of Proverbs and other books of the Bible. Do not get bored with it because God is the one who has given us this. He speaks of certain things over and over, and I think it's partly because we're thick-headed. Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they forward in their path, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. Heavenly Father, we do ask again tonight for thy blessings upon the reading of thy Holy Scripture. Father, we ask this evening that you speak to us, Lord, and teach us from the book of Proverbs, Lord. We pray for thy help and thy leading. And Lord, we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, we find repetition throughout this book as well as some other books in the Bible. And I think God has a reason for doing this. Now, last week we were in verses 1 through 9, the pursuit of wisdom. Tonight, verses 10 through 22, a warning here that's given of two great evils. In verse 12, the evil man. In verse 16, the strange woman. I want to keep all this text together, and next week we'll get into chapter 3. Everywhere that we go, or everywhere in this case a young man would go, whether it be work, school, college, wherever, they will run into these two types of people. The evil man and the strange woman. And notice he begins in verse 1. He said, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. In other words, we find a father's concern for the son. And in this case, we don't see as much a concern for the physical aspect. He's focusing in mainly upon the spiritual life. And we read several verses last week on this, verses 1, 2, and 3. Again, this father's concern for the son. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 5, and then in Psalms 34, verse 11. I gave you some of those verses last week. And also in verse 4, we see the importance of this wisdom. He said, if thou seekest for her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We find, as we would look in other places, like in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. So the focus this evening, we could say young people in general, and it would fit all of us, but the focus in this passage is upon young men. I said last week, I'd rather my child and my grandchildren to be dirt poor and enter into God's kingdom than to gain the whole world and lose their soul in hell. And that's exactly in the case here with this young man. His end result, if he rejects the wisdom of God, is that he will end up in hell. Many times in the Bible, we find the issue of young men. We wrote an article many years ago and preached on this a number of times. And Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, addresses young men. And it addresses a number of issues in the book, but this section is dealing with young men. He says, "Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of thee." Find this again in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm just reading a few of these. I'll just give you the others. You can go to Ecclesiastes 11, verses 9 and 10. Again, addressing the young man. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, addressing all youth in general. We find in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, he said, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble." And one other passage I'll give you, you probably have it put to memory. That is Psalms 119 and verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." So there's a lot of scripture addressed to youth, and there's a lot of scripture addressed to young men. There's many wise young men in the Bible and many foolish young men. So in our context, we have warning given to young men if they will heed to that warning. Now notice in verse 10, we're going to take all these verses together, verse 10 through 22, and keep this section together. And he says here in verse 10, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." We've been looking through this passage in verses 1 through 9. We find the word "if" mentioned three or four times, the condition of gaining wisdom, and then we find the word "then" showing the results or the consequences of this. Now as we come to verse 10, he says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." We see here in this passage that wisdom will enter into the heart of the individual that will open that heart and seek wisdom as silver and rubies and gold. We also see here that as we seek the Lord diligently, that as we grow in grace, He will give us wisdom, and we will have this godly wisdom, this heavenly wisdom, within our hearts. But we also find in verse 10, it is pleasant to the soul. In other words, it brings pleasure to our hearts and to our soul. And then he says in verse 11, he said, "Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee." Discretion, we've seen that in chapter 1 and verse 4. And it's the quality of being discreet, which is the ability to make wise decisions. One writer put it this way, it is the ability to chart one's course safely. In other words, to go through this life safely. And we would find, in speaking of the word preserve and the word keep, we find in chapter 4 in verse 6, that he tells us, he said, "Forsake her not," again, speaking of wisdom and truth, "forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee." This is what wisdom does. It preserves us, and it keeps us. Then in chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 20 through 23. And again, we come back to this father-son issue. He said, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." Verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life." So we find that it's a lamp. It can lead us, as in Psalms 119, 105. It is a light. In other words, it gives us illumination, and it's also instruction. And then, I'm not asking you to turn there, but in one other passage, in Job chapter 28 and verse 28, he says in this passage, he said, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Coming back to Proverbs chapter 2. So now we come to verse 12, and he says in verse 12, to deliver thee from the evil way, from the way rather of the evil man, and from the man that speaketh forward things. I have trouble with that word. Simple word. The word means crooked, perverse, or twisted. The word froward. And it's one who is proud and distorts the truth and hates God and has a filthy mind and the filthy mouth. So this evil man, again, and but we see this word froward again in verse 14 and verse 15. We would see this word again in chapter 4 and in verse 24. It speaks of this man again and the froward mouth and perverse lips. Put these things away from us. In chapter 8 and verse 13, we find this. He says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. We see this again in chapter 10 and in verse 31 and 32. And it's connected with wickedness and evil and things of that nature. We see it again in chapter 16, verses 27 through 29. We find it again in chapter 17, and in verse 20. He said, and he that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Then you'll find it again in Psalms 101 and verse 4. And I give you one other passage in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and in verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and in verse 20, he said, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. So this word in verse 12, froward, it means crooked, perverse, or that which is twisted. And what we find that as we come to the scripture, the evil man in this passage, he speaks of to deliver the young man from the evil man. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaketh forward things. We find that the evil man, and there's many in our world, they imitate their father, the devil, and so their goal in life, a part of their goal in life, is to deceive others, and especially the young man, leading them away from God. We know this is exactly what Satan did in Genesis chapter 3. Satan came into the garden and he led our first parents away from God. He began putting doubts in Eve's mind about what God had said. And so he led them away. Balaam did the same thing with the children of Israel. So notice now as we come to verse 13. In verse 13, now he speaks of the evil man from verses 12 through 15. In verse 13, this evil man, he said, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. And so he leaves the paths of uprightness. Evidently he had been there or at least knew the way of right. And then he says here that in verse 13 again and says, and to walk in the ways of darkness. To walk in the ways of darkness. Just a few passages I'll give you on that. In the book of Romans, chapter 13 and verse 12, the apostle writes to the church at Rome, he said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So this evil man walks in the ways of darkness and he tries to lead others in the same way. And again, wherever we go, it can be work, it can be school, it can be anywhere that you can think of nearly in our society, we'll find the evil man wanting to allure and to deceive, and we'll find the strange woman. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he says of the lost, he said, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. There's a darkness there, a blindness of the heart, having their understanding darkened. Then in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And there's another passage I want to give to you in the book of John in chapter 3. The Lord Jesus is speaking here in John chapter 3. And I'm going to just read a few verses together. I'm going to read from verse 16 through about verse 18. Let me just start here in verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So he says here that men do not come unto the light because they love darkness and they'd rather have darkness than light. They walk in darkness. And this is what we're talking about here, the evil man. And every young man will be presented with the evil man somewhere in their life to draw them and lead them away from truth and lead them away from the Scripture. But not only that, do we see this in verse 13, who lead the path of uprightness and to walk in the ways of darkness, but in verse 14 said, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. So we find here in this passage, they rejoice and they delight. In other words, it becomes their joy and happiness and their delight in the sins of not only themselves, but in the sins of others. You write down Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, but also in Romans 1, when the apostle is dealing with a list of sins of the reprobate mind, he comes down to verse 32 and referring to them, he said, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So this evil man not only delights and rejoices in evil, but he also rejoices in seeing others fall and leave the things of God. This is why that we have to be very careful as to who that we choose as friends, whether we be young or whether we be old. Will they influence us and lead us away from the things of God? Now notice in verse 15, one more verse on the evil man. In verse 15, he says, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. And before we step into verse 16, write down Matthew 7:13. This is the broad way that leads to destruction. And we find there's that narrow path that leads unto eternal life. 1 Kings chapter 21, Ahab was an evil man, and he loved wickedness. He plotted to take Naboth's land, and his wife helped him. They were together in this evil deed, and she carried out the plan that he had plotted. So this is one of the men, one of the persons, I should say, that a young man will face in life. He may see them in a job, he may see them in school, he may see them in other places, but they're always going to be evil men around to try to get us away from the truths of God and get us to join in their sin and in their wickedness. Now notice the other great danger in this passage for a young man. Not only evil men influencing them, but the strange woman. Notice in verse 16. Now this is something that's going to be repeated several times in this book. We're going to keep coming into this subject. Not only the evil men, but also the strange woman. He says here in verse 16, he said, to deliver thee. Now notice this deliverance, verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Now verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman. This is why we must pursue wisdom as people pursue silver and treasures of this world. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. You say, why does God put this word in here, strange, strange woman? Well, this is a woman outside of the circle of a man's proper relationship in marriage. It can refer to a harlot or an adulteress. And I'm going to give you some verses on this. We find this word again in chapter 5 and verse 3. He said, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Verse 4, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Also in verse 20 of this chapter, he says, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished, that is, obsessed or intoxicated? Why wilt thou be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? That's an adulteress. And we find this word again in chapter 7 in verse 5. Chapter 7 in verse 5. Speaking of wisdom again in the first four verses, and it starts off in verse 1, my son. And he says in verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. We have this word again in chapter 22 and verse 14. Chapter 22 and in verse 14. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Then the last time is in chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 29. You see here, chapter 23. Well, for sure in verse 33, I was thinking there's two references in this passage. Verse 33 says, thine eyes shall behold strange women. It's talking about in the context of those that drink wine. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. So coming back now to this, in verse 16, and again, we will visit this subject a number of times as we work our way through this wonderful book. He said, to deliver thee. See, the young man needs deliverance. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And in young people, they need deliverance from their own selves. And then from the evil man and the strange woman. So he says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Again, this is any woman outside of a proper marital relationship. It's a woman outside the circle of a man's proper relationship. It can be a harlot. It can be an adulteress. And here's how this word is used. The term is often used for harlots or loose women, as in Judges 11, verse 1 and 2, and can be even used as of a married woman, as here in the book of Proverbs in chapter 7, verses 5 and verse 19, when she's committing adultery with somebody. But it's also just used as of a foreigner in 1 Kings 11, 1. When Solomon married strange women, he married foreign women that were not of the children of Israel. And you can write down Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 27. Again, they were told to separate from the strange women that came from idolatry. And here's how this word is used in other areas. Things that God forbids. Okay, God forbids the strange woman. Okay, in Numbers 3 and verse 4, you have strange fire. You can read that context, see what it is. God forbids that. In Exodus 30 and verse 9, you have strange incense. God forbid that. In Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1, you have strange gods. That's gods that should not be worshipped. So when we come here to verse 16, he said, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. In chapter 7, verse 21, we have the issue of flattery. Chapter 7 and verse 21, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield, and with the flattering of her lips she forced him. Then again in chapter 29 and in verse 5, we have these words, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Flattery. Flattery is insincere praise. It is praise with an ulterior motive. Flattery is to make someone feel good. Slander is usually done behind the back. Flattery is usually done to the face. And so we find here that this strange woman is using flattery with her words. She flattereth with her words to deceive the young, foolish man. In most cases, will fall for her. But I want you to see the consequences of this. Notice, as we read in verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. She forsaketh the guide of her youth. Write down Malachi 2 and verse 14. The guide of her youth may refer to a father or a mother, husband or friend. And she forgetteth the covenant of her God. In other words, she forgets her covenant that she has made to her God. And if it's in marriage, it's a marriage covenant. But she forgets the covenant that she's made with her God. But notice where all this ends up at. In verse 18, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. So we see here in these verses 18 and 19, I'll read verse 19 in just a moment, but we find here the end result of this is death, to be doomed. Sexual sins destroys a young man in every way. And it steals his soul. About 3 or 4 weeks ago in our Proverbs series, we were dealing with sanctification and sexual purity. And I read this passage to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 through 20. He says, what, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be of one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. If you read in Genesis 39, you can see how that Joseph actually fled from fornication. He didn't play around with it. And it says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. There's something about fornication like no other sin. It robs the individual. And it says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I read this to you, and I'm going to read it again because it's so important. Sexual sins are taken so lightly today. It's taken so lightly in the church, in our society, and families. I see parents will allow their children to come in their home after they're grown. They're just living with somebody. Allow them to come in and just, you know, I've seen them allow them to stay in their own home and them committing fornication in the parents' home. But I want to read this. This is on an article on fornication written 2008. And I just want to read this, the second section, because in this article, I spoke about the fact that fornication is a sin against oneself, and it's also a sin against others, and it is a sin against God. But here in the first section, where fornication is a sin against oneself, it's a sin against ourselves, as well as others, and as well as God. I'm going to quote. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, fornication is described as a sin against one's own body. And then I quote the scripture we just read. Sexual sins are some of the darkest sins of the human family and are judged with the strongest judgment, Jude 7. This sin destroys a person physically, spiritually, and emotionally. In verse 15 and 16, it unites the fornicator to devils, and the individual becomes a soulmate to the other person. In verse 18, fornication is considered a sin against the body. This sin rises from within a person and has a peculiar effect on the body. It deadens the spirit of man and has a lasting moral stain on the body. It defiles the temple of God, verse 19 and 20. It weakens the individual and is like a cancer that eats away from the inside. Once indulged, it is difficult to overcome and can produce disease and shortness of life. Please keep in mind that something happens in relation to sexual sins like no other sin. It opens up the spirit of fornication and unites us to evil or lustful spirits that fill our hearts with lust. The spirit of sexual sins cannot be separated from devils. It reduces one to an empty shell and enslaves them. There is no such thing as casual sex, and ultimately it damns a soul to hell. It's taken so lightly today. It means nothing today. And you know what? Fornication and adultery will place a man or woman in hell just like sodomy will. There is no difference here. The end result is hell. Now notice verse 18. He said, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. There's no return. Sexual sins destroy a young man or young woman. There's a wicked song that was written in 1964, and it's still popular among a lot of people today. And it was called The House of the Rising Sun. It speaks of the destruction of a young man involved in with harlots and so forth in New Orleans. And the group that sang it, I guess the name is appropriate, they were called the Animals. And that old wicked song just shows where the, you know, show how that this sin, even though they weren't, you know, they weren't coming from a biblical point of view, is just saying how a young man got caught up and bound in bondage to that particular sin. I don't think they called it a sin. But in Ephesians 5:5 and Galatians 5:19 through 21, the fornicator, the adulterer, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice with me in verse 19. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. So in this passage, again, there's no return in one sense of the word unless there's absolute repentance and seeking the will of God. Then he says in verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Let the good men be the role models. Then in verse 21 and 22, he brings this to a close. And he said, for the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. Just showing the blessings and promises and showing here the upright is he that is marked by purity. And then we find in verse 22, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressor shall be rooted out. And I want to read one other passage. Turn with me to, in reference to the wicked, turn with me to Psalms 1. I want to read one other verse, Psalms chapter 1. This compares the righteous with the unrighteous, the godly with the ungodly. He speaks of the righteous from verses 1, 2, and 3, the ungodly from verses 4, 5, and 6. But notice he says in verse 6, he says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So young people don't realize that when they play around with sin and take it so lightly that they're destroying themselves physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And every time that we are involved in this sin, it just pushes, we push ourselves farther and farther away from God Almighty and His Word. Would you stand with me? Lord, we thank Thee tonight for Thy love, Your mercy, Your kindness, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, You've given us Your Word because You love us and You want to keep us from evilness and wickedness and sin and rebellion that destroys us in many ways. But Lord, we thank You tonight for Your love. We thank You tonight for Your Word. We thank You for the Lord Jesus. And Lord, just help us as Christians to walk in Thy truth. And when You give warning, that we take heed to it. And Lord, that we'll walk in the ways of righteousness. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.